Why is it that before the letter was written by the leader, we weren't being encouraged to talk to others about Islam? Why is it that now that the letter has been written, you're telling everyone to speak to others about Islam and explain the part of Islam that they know to others? Is there a conflict in what we used to hear before from ulama and what we're hearing now? The shorter answer is no. There's no conflict. What happens is this. What we're not supposed to do is we're not supposed to say what we don't know about Islam. If I'm not sure if something is true, if I'm making ijtihad, giving my opinion on Islam, then that's something I want to be very worried about. What the verse of Quran tells us is this, قُلْ أَلَّا أَذِنَ لَكُمْ أَمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَفْتَرُونَ. You only have one of two choices. Either Allah has given you permission, أَذِنَ لَكُمْ, or you're fabricating lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to do that. The stuff that we do know about Islam, the stuff that we know is true about Islam, the basics of Islam, all of us know those things, and those things are true. If I want to go above and beyond that and start sharing my opinion on Islam, then I better make sure that my opinion is rock solid. Otherwise, obviously, one would need nerves of steel to be able to go and fabricate a lie against God and say things that are one's opinion and present that as Islam. So what are we encouraging brothers and sisters to do? What we're encouraging brothers and sisters to do is to say those parts of Islam which they do know, which are many. We do know that Allah is one. We do know that Allah, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger. We do know that Islam is for justice. What we do have access to is we have access to the works of scholars, speeches by scholars, things that senior ulama have told us. When we are taking those same things and then expressing them in our own words and telling people to get to know Islam through the original sources, to read from articles of ulama or hear presentations from ourselves, or we're sharing a hadith of the Ahlul Bayt with them, then there's nothing that conflicts with what we were told previously. So what we're not being encouraged to do is to do ijtihad, to start making our own opinions, to start telling people our version of Islam. What we are being encouraged to do is to get people, to encourage people to learn about Islam from the original sources themselves, to introduce righteous ulama. We are being told to share those ahadith, those actual statements of the Ahlul Bayt, and to say what we do know about Islam. If we do that, we've done our job. Also, we're not told that explaining or teaching people about Islam becomes our entire profession and our everything in our lives. No, brothers and sisters are still performing all of their duties and leading to Islam through their actions before their words. So they're still working, they're still being mothers or fathers or husbands or wives, they're going to school, they are working at their jobs, they're being people of integrity, and yes, in the time that they have off, they'll maybe be making blogs, for instance. They'll be getting articles that are written by ulama that have been translated. They will be sharing the actual words of Islam and the teachings of Islam and those things which are musallam, they're established in Islam, and they'll be letting people know those things. So that is the part that we are encouraging people to do. But to say that I will now start giving my own opinion on Islam and then now I have to face those verses of Quran, and God forbid if somebody acts on those ahadith, right? Let's say I started a false tradition, then what happens? So what happens if we do start to do our own ijtihad and God forbid people start to listen to us and follow us? The hadith talks, مَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً كَانَ لَهُ أَجْرُهَا وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. If someone starts a good tradition, if someone invites someone to Islam, if someone gets someone to start doing good actions, then that person gets reward by starting this good tradition. And those who act on this good tradition, the person who started the good tradition, they will get reward for that. Alhamdulillah, that's wonderful. I'm talking about things which are established in Islam, not my own opinion of Islam. Alhamdulillah, up until now, we don't have a problem. Let's say, God forbid, I start sharing my opinions, my ideas, what's wrong, what's right, things that are other than the musallamat of Islam. Then what happens? وَمَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً سَيَّةً. Whoever starts a bad tradition, I'm getting online, other people see me as a practicing Muslim, and now I'm sharing my version of Islam. Then what happens? Whoever starts this bad tradition, كَانَ عَلَيْهِ وِزْرُهَا. The burden of that bad tradition is borne by that person who started it. وَوِزْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the burden of those who act on that bad tradition up until the day of judgment. I'm not advising anyone to start sharing their opinion of Islam, to start saying what they think is right and what they think is wrong. Rather, those things which are musallam, those things which are definite, those things which are established, and there's so many of them, and people need to know those things. So inshallah, brothers and sisters can keep in mind that responsibility, and this is a responsibility for brothers and sisters. This responsibility of getting people to know about Islam, what it is that Islam actually has to say, is something which brothers and sisters all can be participants in, and they should be participants in. But we don't want to give our own opinions about these things. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.